I hope you're having a great day. This is Ray Martinez with another podcast. We're going to be talking out of the Bible, of course, and it's called The Power of Silence in Jesus' Ministry. Jesus is often questioned by the religious leaders of his time who seek to trap him and his words. And however, Jesus chooses to remain silent at times, much to the confusion of those around him. So in this podcast, we'll explore why Jesus chooses to be silent when questioned and what we can learn from his example. Our scripture reading today is really from Matthew 26, verse 59 through 64. But I want to capture just the key verses that I'm going to read to you today, which is verse 62 through 64. And here's what it says. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I demand, in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus replied, "You have said it. And in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand, coming on the clouds of heaven." You may have noticed that the high priest couldn't stand the silence from Jesus. The silence is powerful. But you may also notice when Jesus said, "You have said it," he was right. It was the high priest that said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." But he wanted to hear Jesus say it. Jesus said he didn't need to say it. "You said it." So silence in the face of accusations is important, and that's what our reading was about today. And I encourage you to read the rest of Matthew chapter 26, verses 59. Actually, go back to verse 57 through 68. And this is how he was brought before the high priest with these accusations so they could find him wrong and cast serious judgment against Jesus, which, as you know, they finally did. Silence as a form of a witness, and when you read that in Mark 14, verse 60 through 62, it's one of the similar accounts of what we just read. Jesus is questioned by the high priest again. But it's important to note when Jesus makes this claim that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, it's a capital offense at that time. This really shows that Jesus is not afraid to speak truth to power, even if it means risking his life. Silence in the face of mockery is an important aspect to look at. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 14, Jesus is brought before Pilate, in the Roman governor then. Pilate questions Jesus about his kingship and asks if he is the king of the Jews. Jesus responds, "You say so." In other words, you're saying it, not me. Pilate is confused by Jesus' response and asks him why he's not defending himself against the accusations of the religious leaders. Jesus remains silent. His silence is significant because it shows that he's not interested in engaging in meaningless arguments or defending himself against false accusations. There is a time to keep silent and a time to speak, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7. Being quiet can be a struggle, but it can also be a good virtue to have. The Bible commends those who are able to keep the peace and listen. However, discourages being quiet due to timidness. If we look at Proverbs 17, verses 27 through 28, it says, "The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues." I think it's an interesting note that's one of Abraham Lincoln's quotes. He says it's better to be silent and have people think you might be ignorant rather than to speak up and verify it. James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry." Psalm 62 verse 5 says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him." Waiting in silence is powerful. Psalms 141 verse 3, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips, remaining silent, because you know as well as I do that people get in trouble with their words. It's just words that can really strike evil. I like how Lamentation says that in chapter 3, verse 26. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. I found this quote from Thomas Kempis. He was a 15th century German-Dutch theologian and an author best known for his work, The Limitations of Christ. He says this, "Learn to be silent. Let your quietness be a part of your prayer. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." This quote really emphasizes the value of incorporating silence into your prayer life and spiritual practice, suggesting that it can be a source of strength and connection with the divine. If we take a look at Psalms 37, verse 7, it says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices." What he's saying is don't worry about them. Don't look at them even. It's not necessary. It's not relevant. If we look at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." There it is. That's spelling it out there. Your quietness is your strength. What Isaiah is trying to say here is in this message from God is that in the state of calm and quiet, composure, and unwavering faith, you discover your inner reservoir of strength. This involves relinquishing the grip of fear and relying less on your own limited understanding. When you cultivate a serene and composed disposition in the presence of a higher power, your heart becomes infused with a profound sense of peace. This peace empowers you as you step forward with confidence and certainty in the path of trust guided by the divine. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. I love this verse. In other words, you can't hear the word of Christ if you are not listening and quiet. Paul wasn't being repetitive when he said that faith comes from hearing and hearing. The first hearing is from your physical ability, and the second comes from your heart, your inner person, deep from within. Here's an incredible story about silence found in Luke 1, verses 18 through 19. This story is about Zechariah when he and his wife were on, they were an older couple. Zechariah had been praying that his wife could bear a child. They didn't have any kids. The angel Gabriel appeared before him in the sanctuary and told him that God heard his prayer. Now that's pretty special, isn't it? Zechariah's response was incredulous. As we read the scripture, it says, Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I am an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was He who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." If you don't know when to hold your tongue, God is quite capable of doing it for you, especially if it interferes with His will and His plan. What came forth was the child known as John the Baptist. And we all know the rest of the story, how John the Baptist baptized Jesus. It was God's plan. And He was not going to let someone else's words interfere because words are powerful. And He knows that. So He had to be silent. In other words, God was going to fill His mission, whether Zechariah believed or not. Jesus' use of silence in His ministry is a powerful tool that allows Him to remain focused on His mission and speak truth to power. His silence in the face of accusations and mockery shows that He is not intimidated by those who seek to trap Him in His words. His willingness to speak truth is power. Even if it means risking his life, shows that he is committed to his message of love and compassion. May we learn from Jesus' example to use silence as a tool to remain focused in our mission and speak truth to power in our daily lives. Think about this in an orchestra. When the conductor is leading the orchestra, there's some instruments that have what they call a rest note or a silent moment until they're brought back into the musical. But even in music, certain instruments have to be quiet to fill out the rest of the song as it was composed. Consider this verse and pause and meditate on it. Psalms 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." You want to know who God is? He's saying, just be quiet. Be still. A biblical scholar known as St. John Chrysostom made an excellent statement. He said, "Silence is the mother of prayer, a recollection of the soul, and a guard against slandering. It is the companion of the wise, a good aid to the wise, a safe bond of companionship with one's superiors. It is a guide to discretion, a mark of reverence, and a cover for sins. A person who does not love silence does not possess the grace of the Holy Spirit." Now, this quote highlights the significance of silence in its spiritual and contemplative practices, emphasizing its role in fostering prayer, wisdom, and self-control. Christ is our example, and we should not stop looking towards his example in life. Remember, holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. You have a blessed day.